You all are mighty warriors. And though you may feel like you're going through a battle, you will win. You are going to be victorious. Amen. And as we were worshiping, the Lord just pointed me to Hebrews 11:1. And it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How can we have evidence of things not seen? So our evidence is that the Lord is faithful and just in what he says. And Psalms 33, it's a beautiful Psalms. I would encourage you, this is like apart from the sermon, but I would encourage you to read Psalms. It says that he is faithful and we will rely on your unfailing love, God. That your purposes that you have destined in your heart will come to pass. And so I feel like a coach right now. I'm on the sidelines and I'm just looking at my team and we might be down. We might be down a foot. We might be down a knee. We might be down a pastor that's at home. But the reality of the fact is that we will win and we will be victorious. So when you're down, when you're playing, like if you're playing football, you're playing anything. When you're down, you don't quit. You have to go back into that back room. You got to get that finale, like fire, and then you got to come back out. And so that's what I want us to know is today, like, don't let the enemy make you feel somber. Don't let him make you think that you are defeated, because we are more than overcomers. And so as we come into this word, like, please don't let the enemy kill, steal, and destroy your joy or your hope for the future. Like, there is a hope and a future for us as we walk with Jesus. So he might be attacking, but the reality is that a warrior is trained through war. So as you are pressing on and pressing towards the goal, like as we fight the good fight of faith, like just know that our faith is being strengthened and that God is calling us higher. Like as we walk through the fire, it's like we get to new levels. And so if you're just battling, you're like, when is this going to break? Just know that the Lord is faithful and he has a plan and the enemy's scared. Like he doesn't attack unless he's scared. What, like, so when we, like the perfect love of God is what casts out fear. So let us rely on that unfailing love as we just enter into this week and enter into like what's going on around us and through our body. Like, let's rely on the Lord. Yeah. So I'm going to pray and then we'll actually get into the sermon. So, Father God, we love you. Holy Spirit, you are the one that just strengthens us. And I'm just reminded of this scripture that you say, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, God, is how we will walk and make it through these times. And Lord, I pray that that overcomer spirit would rise up in this body, God, that we are not defeated, but God, we will rise with you, God. Those who hope in the Lord will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and they will not faint, and they will walk and they will not grow weary. And so I declare that over this body, God, that you would raise just a new just place of hope inside of our hearts. I pray that we would have that faith that sees beyond the circumstances, God, and that we would speak things that aren't as if they are. God, you say on earth as it is in heaven, in your prayer that you prayed to your Father. So I'm asking the same thing here, God. On earth as it is in heaven, that we would see your blessings, that we would rise up into our full calling and into the full faith of God, the faith that moves mountains, the faith that sees dead men and women rise, God. We want an encounter with the Holy Spirit that changes and shifts things and makes us dangerous to the enemy. When our name is whispered in hell, they're scared. We don't have to run and flee. They run and flee as you develop that warrior mentality inside of us, Lord. So that's what I pray over this body, that you would raise that up inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, the pre-sermon. So it's actually kind of fitting. I'm just going to ask a few questions. Have you ever felt completely hopeless before? Have you ever had a time in your life where you felt abandoned and needed a savior? Have you ever felt so isolated that you didn't know where to turn to? Well, just a few months ago, I don't know if y'all remember, I was in a boot, and I brought it up before, but God keeps reminding me of this situation. So I was sitting over in Waldorf near this little parking lot, looking out at the water, and I was just distraught. My doctors had given up on me. I'd seen the neurologist, I'd seen the foot doctor, I had had MRIs, x-rays, everything you could think of. No one knew what was going on with my foot, and I'm a roofer. I make my living, my career is climbing on roofs, and you have to have strong feet to do that. And I just saw kind of like life crumbling before my eyes as I'm sitting there. I'm 3 months in to my foot being messed up and just crying out to God. I'm like, God, like, you called me to do roofing and now I can't do it. And I'm slowly seeing all my jobs fall by the wayside. And I'm just like, when, I don't know, Lord, when's the money going to come? What am I going to do? The doctors basically have given up on me. And I literally just sat there and cried. And I believe that the Lord met me in that place. He met me at the breaking point. And I think that that's something for us to note today, is that if you're at a breaking point in your life, in your relationship with God, or even just in your relationships or with your health, whatever, Jesus goes out of his way to meet us in those places. And so there were 10 men that Jesus went out of his way to intentionally walk in their path and to intervene in their lives. So if you can put, we're going to be in Luke 17, 11 through 19 today, if you guys want to read that with me. So now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So I'm going to break this into 5 different kind of sections. If you want to go to the next slide for me. Awesome. So verse 11 just basically says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And the reason why Luke puts this at the front of this story is that the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. The Samaritans were, in the time, a mixed ethnicity of Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews were all about purity. And along that border, they just wouldn't really be seen communicating with each other. And so Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, made his way again, and we've seen this through other stories, that Jesus kind of sometimes goes out of his way for the people that he's trying to encounter. So just think about that as we step into this. So verse 12, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. So I'm just going to define what leprosy is. So leprosy is a contagious disease that affects the skin, the mucous membranes and nerves, causing discoloration and lumps on the skin, and in severe cases, disfiguration and deformities. So as an American, I don't feel like maybe none of us have seen leprosy in the room. And I hadn't until I went to India. And when you see the effects of leprosy on a human body, it's shocking. So can you go to the next slide for me? So we think of leprosy as just kind of like lesions on the skin, but as it develops, it actually breaks down the body. So a lot of people with leprosy, they'll lose fingers, toes, there'll be amputations, and they even lose like the cartridge in their nose. So it just becomes like a complete deformity. And it's such a hard disease. And like I said, I saw it for the first time when I was in India, and just walking through this leprosy community, we were there to pray for healing. We were there to pray for these people and to bring Jesus. And honestly, I walked in and I felt completely overwhelmed. I'm standing there like, what, Jesus, literally, what do I have to bring to these people? Like, it was devastating to just see the effects of leprosy on these men and women. And as I'm walking in, there was this amazing man that was sitting there, and he's missing a leg. He didn't have fingers, and he's sitting on this bed the best he could, and he has the biggest smile I've ever seen, and he's just ecstatic. And so I'm walking with my interpreter, and the man keeps saying this word over and over and over, and so I'll go up to him, and I sit down on his bed with him, and he just says, I know Jesus. I met Jesus. I know Jesus. And I was like, this is crazy. And he gave me the most amazing hug that I think I've ever had. I felt the love of Jesus like pouring out of this man. And it was just a testimony of the fact that Jesus is not limited by our infirmity. He's not limited by space. This man was literally bedridden, and he had met Jesus. And the cool thing about this man and why I share is I want his testimony to go out because I believe that Jesus is powerful and he uses us even when we are bedridden. But this man would daily pray for the other men and women in that community. He would write Bible verses down, and literally he can't walk, so he would pass it to men to like pass out around, and he would pray for people. And I think it's just an example of what the love of Jesus can do regardless of our circumstance. And so I share that story just to get us prepped for where these 10 men with leprosy found themselves. And they had to stand at a distance because the leprosy is so contagious. And in that time, it wasn't a cured disease. These men, by the Levitical law, Leviticus 13, 9 through 13, says that a person with leprosy has to tear their clothes, they have to declare that they're unclean, and they have to live alone outside the camp and cry out unclean whenever someone's around them. These 10 men that Jesus meets, they were isolated, they were cast out, they were abandoned. They had an incurable disease that had completely disformed and disfigured them. And the hardest part, I think, walking through that community was when I heard the fact that to this day, most of the men and women in that facility, their parents, their family have completely disowned them. 95% of them don't get a single visit from their family because of how scared they are of this infectious disease. So it just creates not only the physical pain, but it's this isolation. It's this abandonment. It's this feeling of a complete disconnect from society. So that's where these men find Jesus. And the point I want to make here is basically that Jesus goes out of his way to find us, even when we have to stand at a distance. So if you can go to the next slide, verse 13. And these men called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So these men were unashamed in their declaration of their need for Jesus. They're saying, "Jesus, have pity on us." They're standing at a distance. They had to be, I don't know exactly the distance, but they had to be far away from anyone so that they would not contract the disease. So they're shouting at the top of their lungs, like, "Master, have mercy on us." They didn't follow the protocol of shouting, "Unclean, unclean," and cowering. They forfeited that, and they went directly to the reality of their need for Jesus. So they knew that the power of God could make them well. So some questions I wanted us to think about. Is there somewhere in our lives where we feel beyond healing, that we have even given up hope? Do we need a word from Jesus today that brings healing in our lives, like these men? And maybe it's time for us to be unashamed and quit following protocol and cry out for him like these men did. All right, if you can go to the next slide. Maybe it's not the next slide. Sorry, go back. I apologize. Yep, it should be 13 and 14. There we go. Awesome. I split it up. So verse 14 says, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And they went and they were cleansed." This was a command that Jesus issued to these men. And it was actually the proper way defined in the Bible for one that gets healed. You're supposed to go to the priest, offer a sacrifice. They look you over and they basically deem you clean, and then you're able to go back into society. So Jesus gives them this command, and they took Jesus at his word, which shows a pretty high level of belief in who Jesus was as a man. And they went on their way to the temple, and as they're walking, it says that they were cleansed, but Jesus spoke the word, and they weren't immediately healed, but they had to put action to their faith. They had to put action to the word of God before they were cleansed. And so that's just something I want us to think about, is there's times in our lives where the enemy has broken us down so much that you get that sliver of hope. You get that, you're so close to your breakthrough, and then the enemy wants to tell you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen for you. He wants to encourage unbelief. But I want us to think of these men. Missing limbs, missing fingers, there's no option for them. This is not a curable disease. Like, it's not like now where they can go to a doctor. Like, these men were like, "That's the word of the Lord. I'm going to trust it, and we're just going to walk in faith until it happens." The substance of things not seen, you know what I'm saying? And as they're walking, I believe their fingers are getting regenerated. You know, like, these men have had leprosy. I just showed you what it does to the human body. So can you imagine they're seeing their fingers get regenerated, their feet, like, their lesions are going away, and they're like, "What is happening?" They're overtaken with this reality of, like, my life is completely changed because of one word from this man who said, you're cleansed, go, show the priests. So this reminded me of something that Pastor Jen actually shared a few weeks ago in her sermon. So she had real bad shoulder issues, torn ligaments and all that kind of damage in there, and even had an MRI that showed that it was messed up, and she couldn't lift her arm past this point. And she shared with us in a sermon that she was in a worship session. It wasn't even really about prayer. It wasn't about healing or anything like that. She just heard the Lord say, "Raise your hands and worship me." And she says that in that moment, there's a moment where when God speaks, we can either take him at his word, or we can apply logic, we can apply the MRI, we can apply all the things that we think we know, And we can say, nah, that can't be the Lord. Or we operate in faith and we just activate the healing as we believe him. And so she says she raises her arms and worships, and she wasn't able to do that before. And a healing took place. And so, like, I want to encourage us today that a lot of times we see the healing when we partner our faith with God and we actually believe and we take action. So that's my point for this, is that sometimes in partnering belief with action is when we see our healing take place. And my side note that I hope you remember is you got to risk it to get the biscuit, you know? Like, sometimes you just got to go for it, you know? It's like, why not? What else? What do we have to lose? Really? These men had nothing to lose. And they were like, we're going to the priest. We're going to go get it done. I'm going to take a drink of water real quick. Risk it to get the biscuit. I literally just added that right before. So I love you, Jesus. You're so fun. All right. So, and that's an amazing takeaway, but that's not really the point of this story. So read with me as we carry on to verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. So I'm going to break that into a section itself with verse 15. So a few things I want us to take note of in this section is that the fact that all 10 of these men were healed, and only one came back to Jesus in his excitement. He didn't miss the man who had just given him his life back. All of these men, like I was saying, they're getting regenerated. They're so excited. And I'm sure they were all thinking, like, I'm going to go see my wife. I'm going to go see my kids. I'm so excited. I've been separated from them for so long. Like, I'm ready to enter back into society. I'm ready to get my job back. I'm ready to do everything that I've been wanting to do. And this one man had all of these things regenerated. And he says, I need to go see Jesus. I need to go meet this man that just changed my entire life. I need to go tell him thank you. This is so significant because all of these men suffered the same affliction. All of these men had been through the loneliness, the aches, the pains, the complete isolation. All of them had this miracle happen, but only one chose to go back to the man that set him free. So, how he returns to Jesus is something that I think is amazing. He comes back to Jesus proclaiming and praising God in a loud voice. In the same manner that this man was crying out for mercy to Jesus on the side of the road when he had leprosy, he returns with this loud proclamation of praise God, praise God. Like, he's running to Jesus. It says he throws himself at his feet. Like, this man was overtaken by praise and thankfulness. He let God change his agony into praise. And there's moments in our story when the suffering, like, sets us up for the success. Like, with the level of fight and trial and struggle, God wants to use that, like, raw energy for his glory. And as we praise the Lord, like, we enter into an opportunity to share our testimony with other people. I want us for a moment to imagine you're a bystander on the side of the road. You're not with Jesus and the disciples, and you're not with the men who have leprosy. Moments, maybe minutes ago, you saw a man, no fingers, no feet, nothing, barely walk, running back to Jesus, fully restored, shouting, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." He throws himself at Jesus' feet. He's weeping, he's crying, he's kissing Jesus' feet. And you're just like, what just took place? What does that do to the faith and the hope of those around us when we share a testimony? When we actually proclaim the beauty and the joy of the Lord, when we don't get back to the busyness of life and we just go back to life as normal, but we actually take time to share what he's done in our lives. I think I said this the last time, but I think this is my life verse. Revelation 12:11 says, "We overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." And we are overcomers. And the way that we overcome evil is by praise. It's by thankfulness. It's in our praise and in our thankfulness that we get to encounter the fullness of what God actually has in store for his children. I'm skipping all around. Oh, yeah. So, what a powerful moment. So I think the takeaway is that praise is a testimony that invites others to have faith for the impossible and have their own healing take place. It's an opportunity to invite others into a powerful encounter with God. And as we come to him, it's like we're blazing a trail for others to do the same. Like, people talk about the 4-minute mile all the time. It was impossible to beat. No one could beat it. And then one man beat it. And then within a year, I think like 6 or 7 or 26 people beat the 4-minute mile. And this is true for our testimony with the Lord. When we get healed of something, when we share it, it gives other people who have that same issue or even just an issue faith. Like, I stand before you guys today walking on my feet. Like, and as I've been going through this, it might not seem like a big deal. Oh, it's just a foot. But no, like, a foot is a huge deal. Like, and for me, like, I'm standing on roofs like this. I'm jumping up and down. I'm all over the place. I didn't think I was going to be able to walk again. And God is so faithful that I played basketball for the first time in 6 months the other day. And that, like, I had completely given up on that. And like, yes, I used wisdom. I prayed before because that's how I hurt my foot the first time. But it was just this moment where God showed me that he's faithful, you know, like he truly is faithful to enter into our stories, and he will not leave us completely abandoned and broken. If you find yourself in that place, just know he's coming out of his way to find you. So the other thing I want that they emphasize, if you go back, is that this man was a Samaritan. And as I was talking about, Jews and Samaritans didn't mix well. Samaritans couldn't even worship at the same location as the Jews. They had to worship at a different temple. So this man, when his healing took place and the thankfulness and the gratitude took over, he rejected all social norms that were going on at the time. This man was sanctioned to never touch another human being because his sickness was so contagious. Another social no-no was that a Samaritan was never able to touch a Jewish rabbi. That just was never going to happen. So I can't imagine that as this man's going through all this, and it was probably relatively quick, that all those years of conditioning wasn't in the back of his head. As he's running, he's probably thinking, "I can't go up to Jesus." And he's like praising the Lord, and he has these like steps, and as he's running and he wants to embrace the Lord, I'm sure in the back of his head is he's like, I'm unclean. I can't touch this man. This is a Jewish rabbi. But the thankfulness and the joy of the Lord that became his strength, he said, "Bump that. I don't care about any of the social norms. I'm throwing myself at the feet of this man who has changed everything for me. And so sometimes when we worship the Lord, we have to become unashamed. King David said, I will become even more undignified than this, when he worshiped the Lord and they were bringing back the Ark of the Covenant. And sometimes we just have to be unashamed. And as I was reading this and thinking, there's another amazing person in Scripture that throws themselves at Jesus' feet. Her name is Mary Magdalene. And she comes to Jesus after he set her free of demonic possession, prostitution, and isolation. And she comes in weeping, and she's washing his feet with her tears. She's cleaning his feet with her hair. She's anointing his feet with a year's worth of anointing oil, salary-wise. And both of these two individuals show this amazing level of worship where they're not afraid of what they look like, and they don't care about what anybody thinks of their worship for Jesus. But both of them get to experience Jesus on a level that many other people in their surroundings didn't. They get this intimate encounter with their Savior. Jesus says over Mary as she's washing his feet that those have been forgiven for little, love little, and those who have been forgiven much, love much. And he says, wherever my story is told, her story will be told also. So as we encounter Jesus, as we are healed, as our lives are transformed, we can be the nine who are like, thank you, Jesus. I was happy to do what I wanted to do anyway. And we spend our healing, we spend our lives on the things of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. We chase the things of this world, and they pull us away from the reality of who he truly is. Or we can be like the man or Mary Magdalene and fall at Jesus' feet. And that's something I was asking the Lord. I was saying, God, like, what is the difference between the nine and the one? And as I was praying, I just felt him say that the busyness of life is what took the nine away. But the love of the Lord is what brought the one close. And so there's times when we fought, we were the one. I mean, I feel like there's been times where I was the one and I fell at Jesus' feet, and then slowly but surely I became the nine. And so you can be either or. And I guess my invitation today is, if we find ourselves as the one or the nine, invite Jesus into the situation. Don't lose sight of who he is in your life. Don't let the love of God grow cold. And if you've never had that powerful encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to have it. Just ask him. Ask him to enter into the broken, hurting, isolated places that feel like there's no hope, and he will. He's faithful, and he will never leave us alone or forsake us. So, yeah, the lesson here is that on the account of this man's reaction to his healing, and even Mary, how important the praise is to receiving the full healing that God has intended for us. It is when we praise through words and actions with abandon that the years of heaviness caused by suffering lifts. It's through praise that we enter into the heavenlies. We are told in Psalms 104 to enter into his courts with praise and his gates with thanksgiving, and to be thankful unto him and bless his name. And this is actually like directions on how we get into the presence of God. So there was the earthly tabernacle, and there's the outer gates, and then there's the courts, and then there's the Holy of Holies. And so this is set up as a shadow of what happens in heaven. As we come into the throne room of heaven, as we come into heaven, and we enter into the his gates with thanksgiving. It's like you break through the gates and you're like, thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. You've changed my life. And then as we praise, as we offer our lives as a living sacrifice before him, we make it through the courts. And then we enter into the throne room, the Holy of Holies. And that's where Mary and this man had their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't just healed, they were saved. They had a moment where their life is never the same. They encountered the living God who changed everything for them. And it came because of that thankfulness and praise. They didn't let their circumstances, the hurt, the pain of the past, anything hinder them from having that powerful encounter with him. Nothing else on the earth mattered in those moments. And we all have that opportunity. We all have that opportunity. We don't have, this man's story started at a distance from God, saying, have pity on me. Please, Lord, have pity on me. I'm a broken man. To, there's no distance. I'm at his feet. I'm weeping. I'm with him. I'm with my Savior. And you don't have to stay at a distance with God. He wants nothing more than to have an intimate encounter with us that changes our lives, that changes our thought patterns, that changes how we carry ourselves, that imbues us with power and glory and sets us out into this world so that we can make a difference for him. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is alive inside of us as believers. The resurrection power is alive in us as we work and walk with him. So my point is, unashamed, authentic praise allows us to meet Jesus face to face. If you can go on to verse 17. Awesome. So Jesus asks, we're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? I've heard a lot of times that Jesus is angry here, but I think the fact that there's question marks, Jesus is asking a question. And usually when we ask questions, we're not angry. We're trying to get to a solution. We're trying to figure out what's going on. When Jesus would rebuke or when Jesus was angry, he made statements to the Pharisees. You brought a vipers, you whitewashed tombs. It's with like an exclamation point or a period. The fact that these are questions, I think this is the heart behind these questions is Jesus saying, we're not all 10 cleansed. Only one came back to fully receive me. Only one came back to know who I am truly. Only one's life was completely altered. All the others got what they wanted and left, but only one came back to truly know me. And I think that there's hurt in there. There's the, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and my people are like sheep that don't have a shepherd. This is the shepherd saying like, my sheep have been scattered, like they're far from me. They don't even understand what the real gift is, which is me. I'm standing here. I've been waiting for these men. I went out of my way to meet these men, and they took and they ran. But this man came close, and he took what he had, and he spent it on me. So, yeah. I think he had a realization of how far his people were from him. It's believed that the other men were actually fully Jewish, and this was the only Samaritan. And I think Jesus has a moment when he's asking these questions where he realizes just how far his people's hearts are from him. He's asking these questions out of heartbreak, not out of anger. So let's read on. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And you can think that's harsh, but Jesus is actually using the word foreigner here, and it's the only time in the New Testament that this word is used. And it's a plaque that would stand on the outside of the temple because non-Jewish men couldn't come past that point. And it would say, foreigner, you can't come inside. And so Jesus uses this word to show that of all the people that could have responded to who he is, this man who wasn't even allowed to worship Yahweh in the proper location was the only one that got it. And so there's times in our lives where we feel like, I ain't the best Christian. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel on the outside. I don't know what's going on. I'm a foreigner. I don't fit in the world and I don't fit in the church. I don't know what's going on anymore. And you're in good company. The Lord meets us in that outcast location. He meets us in the place where we feel like we don't belong. And I think Jesus, even in his mind, as he's talking about this foreigner, he might have been thinking about the parable of the lost sheep and how he leaves the 99 to go after the one. This man was shunned beyond shun. Even in his leprosy community, he didn't fit. And I don't know, that's heartbreaking, but sometimes in our isolation is when God speaks the loudest. And it's when you're alone and you feel like no one's in your corner that Jesus shows up. When we're at our wit's end, we have an opportunity to be met by the Savior. So two things this shows us is that Jesus came to break down the separation set up between God and man, no matter the ethnicity. That sign made it so men and women couldn't come into the courts to praise God. But as I was talking about in Psalms 104, this man broke past the gates. He broke past the foreigner sign. He broke past the courts, and he worshiped his Lord and Savior. He made it past these things, and it was Jesus who made the way for him to do so. Next, I think I already said that too much. So the nine missed the ultimate gift, which is Jesus. So let us not miss the giver by only seeking the gift. And we go to the final slide here. Verse number 19. Then Jesus, he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. This story finishes with Jesus making a declaration over this man's life. Very much the same as the woman with the issue of blood, that your faith has made you well. Jesus declares over this outcast a blessing of true, genuine faith that has been tested and came out as gold. We are told in Scripture that it's impossible to please God without faith. This man, the lepers who were healed, they demonstrated belief, but this man demonstrated faith. He came back to his Savior. And I believe that Jesus declared faith over this man, saying, well done, son. You passed the test. You received your healing, and you spent it on praise and worshiping me instead of the things of this world. The other nine, who knows where they went? But this man's remembered in Scripture for all of time. So my point is, faith sees us through the sickness and leads us to the healer of our souls. So let us stand on faith as we walk through the things, the hardships of this world, even the blessings. Faith gives us a sober view of God and ourselves, and it points us in the right direction. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And I think today, Jesus is inviting us to come closer for a tender moment, where he heals not only our longings for physical healing. Like, I believe there's a lot of people who need physical healing in this room, and that I'm not diminishing that at all, but I also believe that there's a lot of people in this room who need a love encounter with God, where we've grown weary in doing good, where we've walked this walk and the enemy has badgered and beaten and broken us down. We need a love encounter. And Jesus is offering that to us today. He offers us that every day. It says his mercies are new every morning. His love is fresh for us. Maybe you hear this story and you think, I've never had that kind of intimate encounter with Jesus, or it's been a while since I have. That's okay, because I believe that that invitation is always open to us. So like the lepers who received their healing, I invite you to be bold and brave in your prayer with Jesus. And as you cry out for mercy and he responds, I pray that such a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit would sweep through this body of believers, that it would transform our city, our body, our nation, that it wouldn't stop with us. This man's testimony goes on, and so does yours. Your testimony is powerful. Your encounter with Jesus will change your life, your family's life, and many other lives. Every person in this room is important to the kingdom of heaven. You are a son and daughter set to reign. There are specific nations and people that only your feet can touch their land and bring the gospel, the good news. It says, how beautiful are the feet that bring the good news. And so as you walk with the Lord Jesus, you carry an anointing that only you can carry. And so I ask you, what is your story? What is your moment with the Lord? And we don't have to have just one. We can have multiple. There's multiple times where Jesus enters into our lives. So I invite you to pray and believe like you never have before, that Jesus will go out of his way and that he will not forget you. Today is the day of your healing and your salvation. Don't let anything stand in your way.